You're grateful this morning. Anybody grateful this morning? Now let the church be heard. How many of you all are grateful this morning for what God has done? You know what? I'm going to pray a little bit today. You know what's happening in this service right here? A lot of y'all are smug. Sometimes we get smug. Let me tell you what. If you think God ought to have saved you, you don't understand the Bible. If you think God should have saved you, you have missed the text. And a lot of you think that because you grew up with a perverted gospel. One that said you were the center of the universe and your sin was all that really mattered. And if God was on the cross, He had you on His mind. He did not. When God was on the cross, He had His plan on His mind. And you and I are a byproduct of what He has done, not what we have done. And when you twist that, the least little bit, you mess yourself up for eternity. Can I say that one more time? When you twist that the least little bit, you mess yourself up for all eternity. There is a gospel and there is no other gospel. How many of you all believe that today? Go with me to Galatians chapter 1. And you hear the seriousness in my voice because a lot of us want a gospel that points to us. Watch this. Is the gospel about love? Absolutely. But it's about God's love, not our love. I've heard so many people in the church, well, if we would just love everybody, they'd all go to hell. If we just loved everybody, they'd all go to hell. Our love won't save anybody. Well, if we just fed everybody, they'd be full and they'd go to hell. Well, if we just embraced the strangers, they'd be welcomed and end up in where? Somebody say it. Say it like you know that's real. Now, the reason I'm coming after this, I'm going to tell you, you and I are living in a moment of history where the church is being twisted as fast as it can be twisted. And so you're under my watch, and under my watch, if you go to hell from Hillview, it's because you didn't listen, and you wouldn't receive, and you rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a gospel. Here's what I love about the gospel. You don't have to go to seminary to understand it. It's not a mystery. It's a revelation. It is not hidden. It has been revealed. It is not a secret. It has been broadcast on an old rugged cross for the world, the universe, and all of eternity to see. It's not a secret. How many of y'all glad to know the gospel is not a secret? It's not a secret. Anybody glad to know it's not a secret? Yeah. Are you hearing what I say? Yeah. Chuck it, it's not a secret. How many of y'all believe Jesus is it? Yeah. Now hold on, I'm going to show you something. Until you understand that you're a sinner headed for hell, you'll never understand that Jesus saved you. How many of y'all understand our sin is deadly? It's not bad, it's deadly. When we sin against God, we die. We're separated from that brings life. Well, Paul preached the gospel. It's an amazing thing. I've been encouraging all of our pastors. They do that, thank God. How many of y'all were here on Wednesday night? Anybody here on Ash Wednesday service? What a sermon by Dr. Ward. Amen. Anybody hear that? Give him a hand. That was amazing what God spoke through him. And he talked about how we can't manipulate God. I agree with him 100%. We don't manipulate God. God doesn't look at us and say, oh, you gave up chocolate for 40 days. Now I'll do what you want. See, what's just a lot of us treat God as that assistance that's leading us up the ladder to what we want in life. God is not a magician. He's not magic. He's godly. He's not a rabbit's foot. God's not a rabbit's foot. You know, you don't rub him with a few prayers and then end up getting what you want. Because guess what? When you really surrender to God, it's not about what you want anymore.
How many of y'all realize the first step into salvation is, it's not about what I want, but it's about what God wants in me. That's the what? Gospel. Now, I don't know what more I need to do. I encourage you all to share the gospel. I want you to know, for every empty seat you see in this place this morning where there's not a person that needs to hear the gospel, you have risked that person spending an eternity in hell. Is that straight enough? And so don't tell me you care because there's empty seats in here. And some of you that prayed around because you followed your faith 50 or 60 years, or your daddy was a preacher, or your mama was a deacon, or whatever went on, and you said, well, man, I got a religious heritage. Let me tell you what that's worth. Nothing. You know how I know? I've read the book written by a guy that had a religious heritage that makes every one of ours look puny. A Pharisee of Pharisees, born from the tribe of Benjamin, followed the law with great zeal, was a master of religion. His name was Saul. He got hit by the gospel. He got renamed by the gospel. He got refocused by the gospel. He preaches the gospel. He teaches the gospel. He lives the gospel. He's totally sold out to the gospel. That's where we got to stay. How many of y'all ready to step in there? You sure? Y'all want to step in the gospel? Because there's no other way. Now, if you step in the gospel, Bill Maher's not going to like you. Oprah's not going to like you. Those who believe there's another way to heaven, they're not going to like you. All the people that stick out their hands and say, hey, if we just hold hands and skip and sing, you know, daisy doozy la-di-da, we'll all end up in heaven. I'm going to trust the gospel. What about you guys? Some of y'all think you can be on the fringe with God. You can be kind of in and out, on and off. And you're going to be okay on the day of judgment. I'm telling you, so you hear it first live right here, you're going to be in a hell of a situation on the day of judgment if you've played games with God. Because the gospel's not a game. It's a reality. You either have a changed life or you don't have a changed life. Now, here's what I discovered the problem is. Most of us don't understand the gospel. We think it's a deal between us and God. We think that, watch as we've had movements in the church called seeker movements. We're all out here, all the yuppies. They are now seeking, you know, in the 80s, we were all seeking our understanding and our self-revelation and our connection to a power higher than us. That ain't the gospel. This is the gospel. You and I have sinned against God. You and I are sinners. You and I are outlaws. You and I have broken God's commands. There is one hope. He died on a cross. He shed real blood. It hit the ground. Drops of blood of mercy and grace hit that ground so that you and I might be saved and head to heaven. And on the third day, just like He said He would, just what He did. He arose from the grave and He's alive and His mercy has been there ever since. Anybody glad to hear the gospel today? Now that's the gospel. Look what he said. Paul said, go with me to chapter 1, verse 6. Follow today. Listen today. Let God break through today. If you've been sitting idle for a while in your faith, say, God, move me today. How many of y'all need to be moved a little bit today? God, move me. The gospel ought to move you. Here's the first thing I think. I think you ought to really understand, you know what? You ought to not want people to go to hell. You ought to not. That's kind of Kentucky, isn't it? You ought to not. You ought to not want people to go to hell. How many of y'all want your friends to go to hell?
No, I don't.
I don't want my friends to go to hell. Watch this. I don't even want people I don't like to go to hell. I mean, sometimes I think about it, but I've changed my mind. That's a bad place. Huh? I'm just being honest. I don't want my enemies to go to hell, much less my friends. And you'll have both in this world if you stand for something. If you don't have any enemies, you know what that means? You ain't nothing but a coward. If you don't have any enemies in this world, that means you stand for absolutely nothing. That means you ain't nothing but 100% con. If you live to please man, if you live to please humanity, well, then you'll reap what you get, an eternal hell. Because you can't serve both. You'll either serve God or you'll serve them. And the Bible says you'll serve one or the other. Bible says you'll either love money, manna, or you'll love me. you'll have one master. How many of y'all need to get back with one master? Well, if you really got a master, then that means you'd really want to do what he says. Hello? How many of y'all, if you really had a master, you'd do what that master says? Church, we're moving on. God's going to do some great things here. How many of y'all ready? You're going to be a part of God doing some things you've never seen. Are y'all okay with that? And it's going, man, it's going to blow some of us away. We're going to sit and go, ho, 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 ho. And some of you are going to be mad. You're going to have your Bibles out pointing to the one verse you can find that justifies your idea about it. Paul didn't write in verses. He wrote in letters. God didn't send you a verse. He sent you a book. God doesn't speak impartial. He fully commits to what he's doing. God doesn't have another gospel. Paul said, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Here's the problem. They've had a group of people come in. We'll find that out later in the letter. But he's astonished. He starts the letter and he said, I'm astonished that you've already drifted away from the cross and resurrection. You know what I'm astonished about in today's church world? Go do this. This would be a good exercise since we got internet stuff now. Go listen to sermons today. Go listen to sermons. I mean, you don't have to listen to the whole thing. And see how long it takes preachers today to mention the name of Jesus. I mean, the last 20 years we've had these sermons. 10 ways to be a successful husband. Not the gospel. 5 ways to be a prayerful woman. Not the gospel. That's not the gospel. That's some psychology Jesus that we've invented. I am so astonished at how quickly we drift away from the what? What did Paul preach? Just humor me and say it like you really believe that's what changes the world. The what? Yeah, I mean, listen, here's the reason I get you all to speak up, because you don't say nothing during the week. I figure if you can't get to play in the huddle, you sure ain't going to put it on the field. This is the huddle. This is the easy part of our week, amen? I don't know about you, but I feel a little holier right now because I've heard a choir that's just lifted me up to the ninth realm. You know, well, right now, I feel pretty good about God. I'm going to need to remember the gospel in the morning when somebody cuts me off first thing in the morning. I am astonished at how quickly you've deserted the gospel. Now, I want you to check. Have you deserted the gospel? Does the gospel burn in your life? Do you look at your neighbor, your friend, your colleague, your coworker and say, you know what? I want to make sure they know about my Jesus. You know why we don't share our faith? We love our self-journey more than God's plan. Frank D.R. Williams, it's that simple. You know, I could make up a bunch of preacher talk that made everybody feel good, maybe put a nickel more in the bag. I don't want your nickel. Your nickel can go to hell. That's where it's sending the church. We got too many nickel Christians. We need some faithful ones. We need some that will not desert the what?
Well, Pastor Dave, you know, in the United States, people are sensitive. And they're seeker sense. And Pastor Dave, you got people that don't like you.
Amen. Let me tell you who doesn't like me. People that believe there's another way to heaven. They don't like me. They call me a bigot. They say, how can you be so bigoted to believe there's only one way to heaven? The gospel. Well, Pastor Ash, you mean you don't believe, I haven't got an email, so you don't believe Oprah's a Christian? Let me be clear of that. She's not!
But I like her. She makes me feel good and shows me what kind of facial creams to use.
You're going to need some facial cream. It's hot down there. A lot of cracks. I'm trying to get you to a gospel where you ain't got to use any facial cream. You've been redeemed. You're going to get a glorified God body. You're going to live in heaven. Your sins are forgiven. That's the mercy of the gospel. That the God that made us would forgive us. I'm astonished at how quickly you folk are doing what? Deserting the what? And I see, we like to make that, you know, Jamie, we like to make that a historical message. Paul's writing to a 2,000-year-old letter, and he's writing it to this church that's deserted the gospel. Andrew, I've heard a lot of gospel deserting in youth ministry. We desert the gospel when we follow the preacher instead of the gospel. Elizabeth had the best line one time. Somebody said, well, I don't like your husband. She said, I don't like him either. She said, a lot of times I don't like him. That's not what he's about. He's about the gospel. Don't desert the gospel. Let me tell you, you're going to have one thing you leave this earth with that's going to make a difference. And it's going to be the cross and resurrection. And that's the only thing that's going to get you out of here in a good shape. How many of y'all believe that? Now, I'm going to ask you today to recommit to the gospel. I see some of you going, oh, I got that down. Baloney. Here's what's so funny. Some of you go, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I've been doing this a lot. I've never seen you in the baptistry. I've never seen you bring one person to the Lord. You can't even do the Great Commission. That's 055. The devil can read a lot of books. That's not impressive. That doesn't impress me. You say, Pastor Steve, I've memorized verses. So have our third graders. Well, I know there's a God. So do the demons. Well, I like people that like me. So does everybody. Then there's this gospel moment. Don't desert it. Paul goes on to say this. He says, now listen, which is really no gospel at all. So he says, what you're being taught is no gospel at all. If you get no gospel at all, what happens to you? Come on, let's think logically. If I've embraced no gospel at all, that means the real gospel's not what? Affecting my life. Ben, this is kind of like blocking. If you don't get your head across, it don't matter what else you do, right? What's going to happen? Your proverbial butt is kicked, amen? There's some things you got to do. See, we always want to be complicated. To play football, guess what you got to do? Block, tackle. We want to look at the fancy. To play baseball, what do you got to do? Well, Ty, as a pitcher, Ty, what do you got to do? You got to throw the ball where they can't hit it, right? It's not a hard concept. It's just hard to accomplish. If you're batting, you got to hit the ball that they're throwing at you, trying to get you not to hit. He or she who hits better, catches better, runs better, what? Marriage. You know how you stay married? Anybody know how you stay married? Watch this. You know, Billy Lowe, you remember this? You stand over there. Becky standing over here. I stand right here. Till death do you part.
But Pastor Steve, I never knew she would act like that.
Tough. Pastor Steve, I didn't know he would do this. Tough. Now see, here's why we don't understand the gospel. When Jesus commits to us, he never lets go, no matter what the situation. The gospel is not a conditional contract based on us. It is the free gift of God based on him. You say, well, how come some people live better in the gospel than others? Let me ask you a question. How many of you all have more than one child? How many of you all have ever had this? One child listens, cooperates, and goes along. Another child absolutely does nothing that you ask it to do. Does this not amaze you? Came from the same DNA, has eaten the same breakfasts, had the same suppers, been in the same environment. One cooperative, one what?
Rebellious.
How many of y'all were that rebellious child? You just had to go test it. Now, some of us rebel against the gospel. We hear the word of God and we say, I'm going to do it my way. How many of y'all going to do it your way? We do that with a lot of things spiritually. You know, sometimes we say, God really didn't mean it on that tithing thing. That's just a suggestion. Really? I haven't found a suggestion yet in the Bible. Well, God really didn't mean it on that sexual immorality thing, because like we're like a new modern culture now. And since we're new modern culture and we're like in the 21st century and we have like computers, we can change God's plan. Wrong! Now you understand, don't pervert the what? Gospel. And he said, it's no gospel at all. Now we need the gospel. Look at this. If some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ, don't what? Pervert the gospel. Now, let's go ahead and tell people the truth. If you're here today and Jesus right now is knocking on your heart, I want to let you know, if you decide to be saved, it will not be an easy life. If you're having an easy life, you probably need to check your gospel. I just go ahead and tell you the truth. Your TV preachers, they lie. In fact, the best thing you can do is turn that TV off and actually read the original script. Maybe you need to listen to some of God's preachers instead of some of his actors. Because they tell you it's easy. That's because they hadn't read the book. Tell Paul that it was easy. He died for the gospel. Yeah. Tell the disciple Peter this is an easy faith. He what? He died for the gospel. Tell Jesus the gospel's easy because he died to make the gospel what? Possible. But you know what? Paul came to the point, he said, I'd rather die in the gospel than live in man's plan. Something's happened to us. The gospel is real. He goes on to say this, look what he says. And this is how important it is that we know the gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you. So how many gospels are there? Tell your neighbor, there's just one. Brooks? One. We run one play at Hillview Heights Church. Gospel. I've even had people at Hillview. Thank God I had some young people. They finally came to me. They got old enough that they understood what I say. And they said, Pastor Ayers, this week I had this discussion on Wednesday night after your great sermon, Jamie, that God gave you, but it was great through you. He said, Pastor Steve, I used to get so mad at you when you would use this line and you use it over and over again. You said it doesn't get any deeper than the cross and resurrection. I've seen some of y'all get mad at me when I say that. Because you go, what about chasing spiritual gifts? Let me ask y'all a question. At Christmas, do you like the peanuts, the wrapping paper, and the ribbon, or do you like the gift? The gift is the gospel. Chuck, that's the gift. My sins are forgiven. You know what? We don't understand that in this service. If we understood that in this service, when we were singing grateful, you would have heard praise pour out of this place like you've never heard. To really be grateful. See, worship is about really being grateful. It's about really understanding, I'm forgiven. How many of y'all glad to be forgiven? Now, some of us go like this. How many of y'all have ever had this thought as soon as I said that? Well, Pastor Ayers, we can understand why you'd be grateful for forgiving because you've done a lot worse things than me. Some of you are that deceived. You look around the room and go, well, I've never drank. That means you're an alcohol-free, hell-bound sinner. I say if you're going to go to hell, at least go with a buzz. I mean, Frank, I'm serious. If you're going to go to hell, you might as well party your way there. Amen. That's a whole lot better than religion in your way there. Yeah. It's the same location. See what I'm saying? Because we can't save ourselves. That makes sense? And we get so prideful. Oh, I've been around prideful Christians. Well, I've even heard this said about our church. They'll take anybody. People go, well, Hillview, they take anybody. They take anybody. Anybody can go to church over there. You're right. Why? Why can anybody go to church here? So, somebody said it. Say it louder. You got it, Felicia. Because of the gospel. It's not because we like everybody. We don't like everybody. But come on, let's really get up. Donna, you like everybody? No, I don't either. You like everybody, Ted? I mean, you like a lot of people. But I'm telling you, everybody's a big deal, right? Miss Thrasher, even in your lovely personality that's God given you, that you bless everybody?
Look at your husband. He's laughing. Yeah. You've been in that box a couple times too, haven't you?
Me too. You see, it's not about me liking you. It's not about you liking me. It's not about you liking the church. It's not about you liking the music. It's not about you liking how it goes for you. It's about, do you know the... Did I tell y'all there's 85,000 people disconnected? Have I told you? Okay, hold on. I want to see how smart you are at 8 o'clock. Y'all are smart. We got people got Dr. Dots in front of their name in here. Why am I concerned about those 85,000 people? There it is. It's the gospel. You know what would be easier? Let's just stop, hang out, do church, have cookouts, potlucks. I like those Valentine's dances. Let's do a couple of them. And, have some Bible study. Let's study the Bible a lot. Because at least that way, if we're not going to live it, we know what we were supposed to do. And then we can get puffed up and say, well, I really know the Bible. You know what my response is to that? Yeah, so's the devil. What language you want it in? What theological system would you like me to espouse? Which doctrine you want me to spit out on you? I guarantee you a demon can bring them all quicker than your iPod. But guess what he refuses? Submission to the gospel. One way, my friends. His name is Jesus. He is the gospel. He cannot be tweaked. He cannot be adjusted. He cannot be added to. He cannot be taken from. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the is. He was the was. And he is the will be. The gospel. Now, if I've scared you this morning, that ain't me. That's the Holy Spirit cutting your soul right now, letting you know that you need Jesus Christ. I do not apologize for that. You're fixing to be born again. Anytime you have a birth, there's labor. Amen. That's called conviction. We've forgotten that in the church. We're like, well, how can we have... Here's the problem with the church. I wrote an article on this a long time ago when Elizabeth was helping me learn how to write. Here's the problem with the church. We want to do C-sections. We want... You know, how many of y'all have seen C-sections? And you may have been a C-section baby. But C-section babies are good looking. You know what I mean? They are. I mean, you look at C-section babies, their head looks good. Birth babies, man, they got cone heads. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Come on, let's be really honest. How many newborns you all have ever seen that went through the trip of the birth canal that looked real good? I mean, I just have to confess to y'all, I lie when I come in there to y'all. Y'all hold that baby up. I go, oh, that's a beautiful baby. Except with Merle. If I saw him, I said, Merle, he looked just like you. But I mean, when we're first born, Billy, you weren't good looking when you was first born, Billy. You had a big old cone head, your ears smashed up one side. How many of y'all noticed that? I don't want to be ugly, I want to be truthful. How many of y'all noticed that? Jim Britt, you tapping over at the hospital, you had to make up stuff, don't you? I mean, and you're loving and peaceful and kind and gentle. And I bet Jim goes, I bet sometimes Jim look at that baby and he turns away and says, dear God, do something. Do something to that baby. Lord, help that baby. Amen? Now, hold on. When we get born in Christ, we come in all wrinkled up, crinkled up, messed up, wondered how in the world to work that out. And let me tell you what, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the touch of the Holy Spirit, the working of the gospel in our lives makes us fit for heaven one day. Get to the gospel, my friends. Look what he says. Even if an angel was to preach another, this is indictment. He said, but if we preach or an angel preaches from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Can I translate that for you? Would y'all give me permission to translate that? Okay, now hold on. Now, y'all aren't going to be angry, are you? Listen, I don't need a meeting. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Here's what Paul says. If anybody preaches another gospel than the gospel I've preached to you, they can go to hell. Is that strong enough? I'm reading you what's in the Bible. I know you want to soften it up and make it feel bad. Well, maybe he just said Hades. Y'all notice in humanity, we like to call things that stink cute little things, thinking they won't stink as bad. Like poo-poo. I don't think that's a description. Now, I'm not going to give you one, but I don't think it is. See, but we do this with sin. We call it cute little things to not make it harmful. I want you to know it's deadly. And Paul knew it was deadly, and he knows if you twist around with it and you get away from Jesus, there's no relief from it. George, you see what I'm saying? Now, look at here. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Now, y'all talk to me just a minute. Does there seem like there's a lot of negotiation room on the gospel? Nope. I mean, just from Scripture. Do you all see a lot of negotiation room here? Do you think this plan would work, Pastor Angela? Well, Angela, you have your view of Jesus and I have my view of Jesus. And as long as we just love one another, even though we both have different views, it's going to be okay. Does that work? According to Scripture. Now, I know you want it to work according to you, so you can say, hey, they're my friend, and they're what? What's the code word for unbeliever today? Spiritual. I have people say, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Well, no kidding. You have a spirit inside of you. That's not the question I have to ask you. Is your spirit dead or alive? I'm kind of like a gunslinger. I want to know if you're walking in the Lord, are you dead in your sins? Isn't that the gospel balcony? Isn't that the gospel? Are you dead? Because here's the good news, if you are, you don't have to stay that way. Isn't that the gospel? Joe, I'm glad we don't have to go to hell, aren't you? Well, I'm just going to be honest. If it's left up to my actions, I'm going to hell. I've blown it too many times. Because guess how many times you got to blow it? Somebody tell me you know the gospel. How many times you got to blow it? Marley, how many times you got to blow it? One. Don Roberts, you preaching this great word of God, this true word of God. How many times you got to blow it? One. Gary, how many times you got to blow it?
Once.
How many times?
One.
Timmy? Did you blow it more than one? Okay, just checking. It was two, right? Now, Don, here's what happens. You know, you'll be sitting by Rick and you look over and go, well, you know, Rick's probably like a 50. He's probably blown it 50 times and I've blown it 25, so I ought to be all right. Is that the gospel? How many of y'all have ever seen people think like that, though? Come on. Am I telling the truth today? How many of y'all have ever been to church and heard whispers? How many of y'all have been in one of them whispering churches? People go up to the altar and people start whispering. They go, I wonder who they've been with. Everybody, listen, first of all, the altar is none of your business. That's God's business with that person. It's none of your business. What God says to somebody at the altar, if it lines up with the gospel, that's God's business in that person. It ain't none of your business. That's God doing his thing. No other gospel, no other way, no other direction. Let me show you how serious he is about it. And then he pauses and he said, okay, I've already told you there's one gospel. And then he answers their question. Paul, in verse 10, and we'll come back to this next week too. He said, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, can I sum that up for you? Because a lot of y'all are serving. How many of y'all are glad to be serving God? I want us to come to the altar today twofold. Elder George over here is going to help me out. Elder George, y'all know George. George, stand up real quick so they can see you. He is the masked marvel. You cannot forget him. He's like the Lone Ranger at Hillview over there, okay? All right, George, thank you. George came to me this week because the Spirit of God was all up in him. And he said, Steve, what can I do? What can I do, Pastor? I am concerned about these 85,000. See, I knew that'd start happening. Now, you know how many I need to help? A few committed. I'm just going to help you right now. Here's what I love about the gospel. It don't take everybody to get it done. It takes a few committed to get it done. Hillview hadn't been built on a democracy. This church, You know what we did? We gave up on democracy 20 years ago, and it's been a lot better. Well, there ain't no democracy. What's the church talking about? Democracy. Like God's going to send down, here's my gospel, and you all need to put that in committee, negotiate with it, and then give me a vote if you want to receive it. That ain't the way it works with God. God said, here's my way, here's my truth, and here's my life. You either live in it or outside of it. There's consequences to both of those. One is a full and abundant life in Jesus Christ, lived to the fullest, and the other one is a life of death and hell. You make your choice. It's pretty true, isn't it? So George is going to be praying for lost people. We're going to launch a plan of people that are disconnected to get saved. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, guess what I want you to do? Take a wild guess. Yeah, I want you to know Him. I wonder why. I don't have a plan B. Look at your neighbor and just tell them, no plan B. I want to go ahead and confess it because you know what? Here's what I believe. I believe the devil has convinced some of you there's plan B. I believe there's some in this auditorium. In this auditorium. They believe their friends are going to go to judge, stand before God in judgment, and they're going to get this. Well, you're a loving God, and I'm going to exempt you from what I told you. And the reason that happens, and the reason we're so deceived, is because we got parents now that do this to their kids. If you do that one more time, I'm going to put you in timeout. And they do it 20 more times, and they never go to timeout. We didn't have timeout back in my day. We had a cure for that attention deficit disease. When my attention was in deficit, my father had a fulfillment for my deficit. Whoa, got my attention now. Yeah, attention deficit. Why is it that all the kids that have attention deficit also have no discipline in their life? Why don't one of you psychologists examine that theory? Harvard spent a few million back a few years ago to determine this great awakening. You ready? Through study, peril, research, clinicals, they've determined that children that have both their mother and father do better. That only cost you about $50 million. I already knew that. God created man, God created woman, God put them together, they have children, His plan works. I just tell you His plan works. What do you think? We got to boldly, lovingly, powerfully go with the gospel. But you can't negotiate it. You say, well, what do you do when people disagree with you? I love them. Now here's where I want to give you some, hold on. Only God can change them. Your job and my job is to not change people. How many of y'all understand that? I want to give you some relief. Some of y'all have been married a while. How many of y'all have ever tried to change your spouse? How did that go? It doesn't work. Exactly right. How many of y'all, tried this one? Your kid hit adolescence and you're going to change your 16-year-old. How'd that go? How many of y'all got a mother-in-law that needs to change? How many of y'all got a father-in-law that needs to change? How many of y'all got a sister that needs to change? How many of y'all got a... I'm just kidding. Y'all all getting serious. I'm going to tell her. How do you know it's Beth Ann? I got two. Only God can change us. You know what I'm saying? Don't pervert the gospel. Here's the message today. Let me give you a quick way to share the gospel. I can do it less than a minute. Three P's and an R. How many of y'all can remember that? The gospel's a simple message. That's why we don't like it. It's not sophisticated enough for us. God had a plan. He created us and made us. How many of y'all believe that? Okay, now a lot of people don't believe that. They believe we've just. I don't get into that big argument. It's real cool with me. God created, bang, it was. I don't care about all that because guess what? In the morning, I got to deal with being here. I know a lot of people that like to chase those rabbits. They don't live a real full life. Have you noticed that? Because what are you doing with what you are? I haven't found any of us perfect real well what we know yet. Have you? But we like to spend all of our time with what we really don't know. That's so we won't have to deal with what we really do know. I'm a sinner. And I need God to change me. Well, how deep was the water, Pastor Ayers, when Noah got on that boat? Deep. That's how deep it was. Deep enough to kill a bunch of folks.
You mean God would kill people?
Let me be real clear with that. Yes. He's on record. It doesn't disturb him at all. Doesn't bother God. Boy, that just crushed a lot of y'all's hippies' Jesus, didn't it? Some of y'all need to get a Jesus that doesn't do mushrooms. And look in the gospel and find the real one that stretched out his arms on a cross and died so that your sin, my sin, and the sin of all the world would be forgiven. And 3 days later rose again by the power of God, the Heavenly Father, and lives forever. God had a plan. He made us. You and I got a problem. Guess what it is? Sin. There is a provision. He had a name. Guess what his name is? Y'all are on track. He died. He rose again. Or you and I must repent and receive. That's the way you get saved. I just told you how to get saved. Now let me ask you a question. How many of y'all going to sit in this auditorium today after you've clearly heard the gospel and go to hell? Would you tell me why you would do that? Can you give me any human logic of why you would do that? Why? What's this? Would somebody explain this to me? I hear it every week. Well, I'm not ready. What do you mean you're not ready? What, have you not died long enough? Are you not messed up enough? Well, just God will save you before you're real messed up. How many of y'all understand you don't have to, like, totally, you know, tear your life up before God will save you? He'll save you before your life gets totally tore up. That ought to be what we're looking for, amen? Well, just, I want these kids. We're building this building, not so we can have a building. Well, it's already built. I want our kids to come to know Christ. I want them to grow in Christ. When they become teenagers, I want them to have a blast in their life. I don't want them to mess themselves up. I don't want our kids on drugs. I want them to have babies after they get married. So those babies will have mamas and daddies. And so they'll have a little, you know, it's a lot easier. That's okay. What's wrong with that? When they get married, I want them to stay married in the name of Jesus so they live a full and abundant life. What's wrong with that? He said, Pastor Steve, I haven't had that life. I love you and we're going to embrace you and God's going to redeem you. But I don't want to wish my curses on anybody. I want to testify to His gospel to everybody. It's not where I've been or where you've been. It's who we've been with. The Son of God. Crucified. Resurrected. Risen forever and ever, what? Amen. This morning, are we going to move? We're just going to sit there. I want to thank you. I want to compliment you. I want to encourage you. Y'all invited some people to church with you at 8 o'clock today. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. I know the weather's been bad, but I figure the cross is worth 2 inches of snow. Just to be really confessional, I'm really scared as a pastor in America. I'd hate to take the American church to battle. Lord, I've seen people leave a congregation because the pastor didn't tell them the right words. Can you imagine them standing in battle? I know people that can't come to church because they got to wait 10 minutes. Can you imagine them really standing in a faithful moment? I know some of y'all that hadn't said a positive word in 5 years of your life. The devil's so much in you, this not in your heart, but he's up in your head that all you can find in an event is something negative. You know why? You're not listening to He who saved you, but you're listening to He who wants to distract you. I find that any time I'm negative, that ain't the voice of the Lord. Guess who it is? And he comes to church. And he dresses up in a tie. And he carries a big Bible. And he usually has all the verses marked that he's memorized. He walks around with all pride and dignity, telling everybody how religious he is. There's your first sign. Because those who understand, they have their head down. Grateful. 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 Jesus. My sin. Only you could take it away. I'm grateful that Jesus came. That Jesus died. That Jesus has risen. Grateful. Oh God, thank you for your mercy. There is no other gospel. Are you His? Have you said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you'll be sorry, He'll be saving. If you'll be receiving, you'll have a life like you've never had. Amen? So church, that's the first prayer. Anybody in here, receive Christ. Amen? You say, what about next week? What about now? What about next service? What about now? I'm not ready. Yeah, you are. Are you a sinner? I want everybody to participate. I know some of y'all are too cool to raise your hand because you've been in church a long time. You cool. You graduated from college. You have advanced degrees. Woo! You know why I got all mine? So I could talk about them like that. But the guy, when I was doing my doctoral work, looked at me and he goes, Ayers, why did you do this? I said, so I could say it was worth nothing with authority. And he went, by gosh, I believe that. Because that's not going to make the church. The gospel makes a church. Now I want you to raise your hand. How many of you have sinned in this room? There you go. And if you see any hands down, smack them upside the head. And tell them they're lying. Now see, that's what I want you to know. Now hold on, somebody's going to get saved today. Hold on. Hold on. We're all in the same basket. You know what I love? God saves white folks and black folks the same way. Amen? You know who made up all that division? One Lord! One church. One faith. One baptism. Lord of all. In all. Through all. For all time. Amen. First prayer is come and receive Christ. Don't nobody go to hell from here. Second prayer. If you have not been baptized, it is time to be baptized. Pastor Reynolds, where'd he go? He's faded over in the corner. I'm not playing games with this baptism stuff. If you hear somebody come to you and say, well, I'm just scared to be baptized, lead them to the Lord because they don't understand the gospel yet. Pretty bold. Beth Ann, somebody be offended by that today. They go, well, I've really wrestled with my baptism. No, you hadn't. You've wrestled with yourself being God or God being God. Doc, isn't it better for me? If I had an infected tooth, would you tell me that it's kind of bad or would you say we need to pull it? Because if you don't pull it, what's going to happen to it? It's going to go to my brain, and what will happen if infection goes to my brain? I'll die. If you don't receive Jesus, let me help you. Guess what the end consequence is that? You're not going to be set in the corner. You're going to be eternally dead.
Well, Pastor Ayers, is there more to the faith than that?
No. And those of you who are preaching something else, oh, God, help your soul. It's the gospel. Y'all ready to respond? I can tell the Spirit of God's in here. Some of you like hallelujah and some of you like, oh, no. Well, if you're on the oh, no, let's make it oh, yes. Oh, yes, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Oh, yes, Jesus, you're a Savior. Oh, yes, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Amen? What do you think, boys? You think that'll work? Y'all been saved, haven't you? Y'all play like you saved. What happened to you? Y'all play like you saved. You sing like you're saved. Did the choir sound saved today? Amen. Well, let's stand up. And pray with me. It's been a great day. Listen. Now, hold on. Get out of here, Satan. Get out of here, Satan. Just tell it. In the name of Jesus, get out of here, Satan. I'm not worried about your Bible study right now. I'm not worried about what you can be. I don't care about the coffee. It'll be there. Today, somebody sitting beside you, somebody standing in front of you, somebody behind you may not know Jesus. It's time to have some salt in your faith. You ought to be praying, Lord, if anybody around me doesn't know you, may my prayer be a testimony to your power. And may they receive you, Jesus. So right now, in the name of Jesus, anybody that needs to come forward, I want you to come forward. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't been baptized, come on forward. Let's be baptized. Now the third part of the altar today. I want you to come pray that people get saved in Warren County. I mean, pray. By the day, I don't want you to pray about your personal need. God's probably heard that enough this week. You really want to see what Jesus is about? Come and pray that this city not go to hell. Pray till you weep and then you'll understand God's mind. He wept over Jerusalem that they would know Him. Amen. All right, this altar's open. Lord Jesus, right now, bring us, make us, break us, mold us, lift us up, encourage us, heal us, whatever needs to be done. This altar's open. So I'm going to ask men in the name of Jesus, please don't stand there today. Don't stand there today. Receive Him, Lord and Savior. Pray for the lost. We got opportunity to pray for the lost. Pray for them, Lord. Amen. Amen. How you guys doing? Oh, Jesus.